170 Chinese Poems by Arthur Whaley, narrated by Charles Featherston.
Preliminary Note and Part 1 Introduction. Preliminary Note. In making this book, I have tried to avoid poems which have been translated before. 140 of those that I have chosen have not been translated by anyone else. The remaining 30-odd I have included in many cases because the previous versions were full of mistakes, in others because the works in which they appeared are no longer procurable. Moreover, they are mostly in German, a language with which my readers may not all be acquainted. With some hesitation, I have included literal versions of 6 poems, 3 of the 17 old poems, Autumn Wind, Li Fuzhen, and On the Death of His Father, already skillfully rhymed by Professor Giles in Chinese Poetry in English Verse. They were too typical to omit, and a comparison of the two renderings may be of interest. Some of these translations have appeared in the Bulletin of the School of Oriental Studies, in the New Statesman, in the Little Review, Chicago, and in Poetry, Chicago. Part 1. Introduction. Principal Chinese Dynasties. Han, 206 BC to AD 220. Wei, 220 to 264. Qin, 265 to 419. Northern Wei, ruled over the north of China, 386 to 532. Liang, 502 to 556. Sui, 589 to 618. Dang, 618 to 905. Sung, 960 to 1278. Yuan, Mongols, 1260 to 1341. Ming, 1368 to 1640. Jing, Manchus, 1644 to 1912. The Limitations of Chinese Literature. Those who wish to assure themselves that they will lose nothing by ignoring Chinese literature often ask the question, have the Chinese a Homer, an Aeschylus, a Shakespeare or Tolstoy? The answer must be that China has no epic and no dramatic literature of importance. The novel exists and has merits, but never became the instrument of great writers. Her philosophic literature knows no means between the traditionalism of Confucius and the nihilism of Chuang Tzu. In mind, as in body, the Chinese were for the most part torpid mainlanders. Their thoughts set out on no strange quests and adventures, just as their ships discovered no new continents. To most Europeans, the momentary flash of Athenian questioning will seem worth more than all the centuries of Chinese ascent. Yet we must recognize that for thousands of years, the Chinese maintained a level of rationality and tolerance that the West might well envy. They had no index, no inquisition, no holy wars. Superstition has indeed played its part among them, but it has never, as in Europe, been perpetually dominant. It follows from the limitations of Chinese thought that the literature of the country should excel in reflection rather than in speculation. That this is particularly true of its poetry will be gauged from the present volume. In the poems of Bo Jui, no close reasoning or philosophic subtlety will be discussed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?